hey, this is Tony Stewart.
Just go to one NHRA race. Just go one time and experience it for yourself. And once you go, you're going to be hooked just like I was.
720 WGN high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio. The Route 66 Nationals heading into 25th year. Excited to have on one of the biggest stars with the greatest race car drivers of all time. USAC champion, IndyCar champion, multi-time NASCAR champion. Now a winner, Top Fuel of the NHRA. It's Tony Stewart.
Thanks for having us.
Think about this. Has it changed at all? I mean, you're one of those guys that has raced so many different kinds of cars. Not a lot of people can go ahead and do that, to actually have one in Top Fuel for the NHRA.
Yeah, I think the one of the things that I had trouble with last year is, you know, we came off of a year where my wife, Leah, almost won a world championship. And then I get in the car and we could not get that thing to go down the racetrack last year consistently. And so you go through the torture of reading social media, which was my first mistake, of reading idiots that don't know what they're talking about in the first place, but saying, they should put her back in the car. She's better than him at it. And well, it's only going to run what it's going to run. So, but that was the hard part, was, you know, everything I think I drove before I got to NHRA, I'd pretty much won in the first year at some capacity. So to go a whole year in NHRA and after, you know, winning four races and finishing second in the alcohol championship the year before, to not win a race, and I think we made two final round appearances the whole season, was disheartening for sure. So, you know, to finally get this year and get to the four wide at Las Vegas and win, which just finally taken the pressure off of us. But looking back, you look at how long it takes people to win their first race in NHRA. It's way longer than what I'm used to. So it's like I kind of feel guilty about it, but at the same time, I'm competitive and I want to win right away.
Maybe your level of expectation is a little bit different, obviously, yes, because of the track record and just the series. And on paper, I've got to say that on paper for you, not having that same familiarity with drag racing with NHRA, you've got to think like, well, there's only so much that you could pack into those few seconds. It's got to be, I don't want to say that because obviously great people make entire careers out of it and you're doing the same, but did you underestimate the level of difficulty to win in the NHRA?
Yeah, and what I guess one of the biggest things, that if you wrap everything that I've done in one bubble here, I'm used to being 70% of the equation, where I can manipulate the car. If it's not 100% right handling wise, I can manipulate the car with my hands and feet and how I drive and how I enter the corner. I can change it to accommodate what the car's doing. Drag racing, you can't do that. I mean, the crew chiefs are the tuners, and your job is, when that light hits, to have a quick reaction time and get that pedal to the floor as fast as you can get it. But it is only going to run what it's going to run. There's nothing I can do during the run. There's zero things I can do to make it go faster. There's about 12 ways I can screw that run up and make it worse, or make it unsuccessful altogether, but there's zero things I can do to make it go faster.
One of the things that you've done, you've always done, right, is I think bring more eyes, more fans to the tents of racing, whatever racing it is that you're in. I think it's just a side effect to success, right? And I think the personality that you bring to the racing side of it, which is unapologetic, which is, you know, brash, all those things on the personality side that people love about Tony Stewart. When you think about this, and we've talked about it, whether it was in the last segment or other interviews, is that I have always felt, and I've covered them all, you know, I host the Indy 500 show, I've covered all the NASCAR stuff, been to all of them, I always felt that the NHRA has the most potential for success and fans, just because of the way that it's built, it's packaged, it is as big and as loud and as bright, and it is, you know, it's immediate gratification.
Yeah, I mean, I always tell everybody, I mean, I went from driving races that took 3.5 hours to now running a race that takes 3.5 seconds. So, and the great thing is, you can, you know, Sunday you go watch the first round of eliminations. You can watch Top Fuel, Funny Car, Pro Stock, and Pro Stock Bike in less than 2 hours, the first round. And then you get a break. You get to go in the pits, because when you buy a ticket, you can walk everywhere in the pit area and see all the teams, the drivers. You get to watch them rebuild the cars, and then you go back out, and the next round takes less time because half the field's already eliminated. It's like a NCAA bracket.
Right.
So after the first round, you go from 16 cars to 8 cars. So it's less time as it goes through the day. But it's instant gratification, because from the time they fire that motor up to the time I turn off the racetrack is on average about 2 minutes and 15 seconds. So it doesn't take long. And then right after that, as soon as you turn off, the next pair's firing up. So we see a lot of wagering, and you know, they have Bet NHRA now.
Yes.
That you can bet.
That's exciting.
At the drag races. So it's just constant action going on. And, you know, and even in between rounds, there's cars running up and down the track all day long. You got sportsman classes that are running. So it is nonstop action, and there's something for everybody.
It's one thing to be an ambassador. It's another to be a winner, right? That you're actually out there. You've got the team. So many things going on. You've been an owner of teams for a long time. And that is another thing, not only just the difference in series that is difficult for people to transcend and find success, but actually, you know, running a team, right? That's all of that is involved. When you decided to get into it, obviously Leah was there. I think she was running for Don Schumacher at the time. And was that one of your deal breakers? Is that I am used to being in control of the situations that I'm in, is that if I'm going to get into this, you know, I'm going to want to be running it.
Yes, but at the same time, what I've learned from my years in NASCAR, and probably one of the greatest assets I learned from driving for Joe Gibbs, was you hire the right people to do the right jobs. I mean, I don't know how to build those motors. I don't know how to build the clutch packs. I don't know how to build the blowers. I don't know how to build the racks with the pistons and rods together. Everybody on that team has a specific job of what they do. So my job as the team owner is to hire the right people. You hire the right crew chiefs, and then you let the crew chiefs assemble their team, because they're ultimately responsible for those guys. So I'm very good at not micromanaging people and sitting there wanting to have my hands on everything, because I don't need to have my hands on everything. And the success of the team would be way lower if I had my hands on everything. So I put the focus on hiring the right people to do the right jobs and let them do their job.
When you won, when you had that opportunity to win, and it may even be better in the big picture, just from an appreciation standpoint, not that you wouldn't appreciate it no matter what, but to have a little bit of that time and some challenges going through in order to finally get that Top Fuel win, as excited as you were, and you were very, very excited as a guy who has done it all, there was a lot of excitement there. And then were you surprised at how excited everyone else was for you too? Not only your dad, obviously that was huge, Leah, everybody, the entire sport. I mean, everybody, we felt like drag racing won when you won.
Yeah, and I think the industry, that's something I didn't realize what it meant to the industry, how much people were looking forward to us. Even competitors that we were racing against realized that it was going to be a big deal when we won our first race. So I think indirectly, a lot of the industry was rooting for us, and they were. They were happy. I mean, John Force came to me twice before we got done with the Victory Lane photos and congratulated me and said how big of a deal it was for drag racing. So it makes you appreciate how much everybody wanted us to be successful. But, you know, when we line up against them, they want to rip my head off and beat me every time, which that's what we're supposed to do. So, but it's fun to have that kind of support from those guys and know that, you know, it was a big deal to the industry to have us win a race finally.
We talk about every ticket being a pit pass. The access to the drivers and, you know, the action and everything that's happening is unparalleled in NHRA. And so if you have been a lifelong Tony Stewart fan and you have that opportunity, this may be your best chance to get to say hi, to maybe get an autograph or a picture or be able to hang out. Is that something that you saw as, obviously I think it's a huge benefit on the sporting side of it, but just another thing to manage is just the people?
It is. I mean, it's the crazy thing is I tell everybody, you know, literally on Friday and Saturday of the events, we make two runs a day. And it's normally a 2.5 hour split in between the times, the start times of when we run. Literally, you're working with the team. You're working in our hospitality area, which is right next to our pit, with our sponsors and partners and guests that we have on the weekends. And then we're out at the ropes, and the majority of the drivers will spend time at the ropes, signing autographs, taking photos. We do the best we can to do that. And it's hard. I mean, it gets to where literally, like I said, 2 minutes and 15 seconds a run of the time that you're physically driving the car and operating the car. The rest of the time, you're doing all this other stuff. And we get out to the ropes as much as we can, which is great. And literally, we have NASCAR fans in particular that come and say, we've followed you for 20 years and never could get to you.
Right.
Well, you didn't go to the right races. You know, now we're in a sport, and now we're in a sanctioning body with NHRA that we spend hours out there. And it's hard because you can't, you know, everybody's coming in at different times, and there's times fans may come by and we're inside working with the crew chiefs. So you can't spend every minute out there, but we spent a lot of time. I think we averaged over 2 hours a day this past weekend out there with race fans.
I know the fans appreciate that. We'll have links up at WGNradio.com for the tickets and all of that stuff. You think about this, and Leah, we talked last time when you were there, and we've done stuff with Leah when she would come here and visit. She's a foodie, and we would do like different challenges on the food side. And you guys together, you know, sort of a greater than the sum of the parts thing, like a power couple, right? You know, and I just think it's been great for the sport to have you guys, not only an incredible romance, but you've got the success. You've got Dominic. Just talk a little bit about that. Was that something when you have a girlfriend, you know, that happens to be a star at another sport, you never know where it's going to go?
Yeah, and it was kind of fun. Honestly, and we talked about it a lot. I think one of the first couple events I went to with her, and we would be out and people were wanting her autograph or her photo and walking by me to get to them. And I loved it. And she was genuinely worried that I was going to be upset that they didn't notice me. And I'm like, are you kidding?
She's like, hey, this is Tony.
I love the fact that I wasn't the center of attention, that my girlfriend at the time was that center of attention. So I think we embrace it. It's fun to see people that followed my career and didn't know anything about Leah. And now they're Leah fans. And there were fans of Leah's that now know me, and now that I'm driving the car and filling in for her till she's ready to come back in, that now have turned into Tony Stewart fans. So it's kind of fun to see that crossover and interaction with it, and you know, just to see the fans at the racetracks. I mean, we see NASCAR fans all the time that come to a race, and I'm like, well, come back at the end of the day if you get time, swing by and tell me what you thought. And the most overwhelming response I got from people that have never been to a drag race is, we had no idea. And it's like, so I tell everybody, I'm like, just get people to the drag race one time and they are going to be amazed at what it's like.
They will be literally blown away. I mean, not only is it an entertaining product, the personalities are great. Every ticket to Pit Pass, we talk about the experiences that you can have. But if you haven't done it in person, of course, Fox does a great job on the TV, and TV's gotten so much better at it. But to experience the NHRA in person at the track is something you will not forget, right? It is a physical response.
And I think once you go to a drag race one time, then if you're a fan and you watch it on TV, when you watch it on TV, it's going to add to that experience when you watch it. There's just things that TV can't translate to being there in person. But once you've been there and you've physically experienced it, then when you see it on TV, it just adds and makes it that much better.
You think about all the situations that you're in, a lot of history is built with it. This is the 25th anniversary for Route 66 and the Route 66 Nationals at Joliet. It was away for a couple years, and then it came back, and it's been consistent sellouts. Talk about that. I mean, you've been in situations and times with NASCAR where it was fully sold out and the sport was as crazy as ever, to times when there were challenges. Talk a little bit about the history, I guess, here in Chicago, being at this track, and just the venue itself having been there.
Yeah, it's crazy because it's, you know, it's just far enough outside of town that it's outside of the craziness. But it's such a short drive from Chicago. It's easy to get to, and it's easy to get away for a day or an afternoon. And like you said, the history of it, I mean, I've raced at the dirt track there that's literally right beside the drag strip. I've raced at the cup track and now drag racing. So to be able to run at all three of the tracks there at that property is something that's really cool for me to experience. But it's the Chicago area has always been a cool area. I mean, there's a lot of race fans. There's racing in Wisconsin north of here. There's a lot of short track racing in this area just outside of town. So to have the drag strip there and to have a cup track there, unfortunately, cup track doesn't operate anymore. But, you know, to have drag racing back there is huge for motorsports in this area. You know Rockford and so many of the areas around here are huge and big race culture around here.
You're getting into NHRA and you're so focused on what happens on the track and the family and the team. There's a lot of fans, obviously, that look, and we mentioned history and your history in racing and kind of checking off things that, and I don't know how much you focus on that, you know, but people who follow racing and cover it, you know, you are one of the very rare individuals that has not only been able to race at some of these high levels, but succeed at these high levels. And that just does not happen. Now, I think you can count them on like maybe one, you know, you got your AJ Foyts and you got your Mario Andretti's and guys that have done those kind of things. Where do you put that in? And what do you factor in as far as just your, that secret sauce for versatility? Because you have some people who've had huge success in others, like Jimmy Johnson, for one, went to IndyCar, couldn't do it, or just couldn't do it the way he would want to. But just your thoughts on that. What is it? You know, is it what makes you successful? I'm sure everyone's asked.
I think I joke around with everybody and I tell everybody I learned at an early age I was too lazy to work a real job, so I had to be good at driving a race car. But I honestly don't know what the equation is and why we've been successful. And honestly didn't even focus and look at the list until we won the NHRA race a couple events ago. I had never sat down and made a list of every car that I won a race in, every different type of car, the different cars that we've won championships in, car owner championships. Just had never thought about it because as a professional racer, all you're worried about is the next race. I mean, you win a race on Sunday, you might celebrate on Monday a little bit and think about it, but by Monday night and Tuesday morning, you're already focused on trying to figure out how to win the next one, not the one you just won and celebrating and having a great time with it. So to sit back and look at your career and look at all these things, you don't think about it. But once Vegas happened, it kind of there was a lot of buzz about it because drag racing is so different than anything else. And to sit there and add that to the list of cars that we've raced and won in, there was a lot of lists that were being created. And I'm like, well, they missed the, you know, I didn't even think about it, but I'm looking at people's lists. I'm like, well, they missed this car and this car and this car. And then we started refining the list a little more. And then once we saw it on paper, it's like, holy crap.
Yeah. Not
you,
just
you realize what you've finally done. And you don't normally do that till you get to the end of your career and you're retiring and you look back and reflect on everything you've done. But it was kind of a neat pause, so to speak. We had a weekend off before we went to Charlotte for the four wide and got a chance to look at that. And I was like blown away at all at how many cars were on that list. But it's, I think from day one, I always was, you know, I started in go-karts. I started on dirt tracks and dirt ovals. And then we started running pavement road courses and dirt ovals. I was doing both. And then we ran what they call enduro go-karts. You're basically laying down like you're laying on your couch with your head supported by the armrest. And so I was racing at Daytona and Charlotte on these big road courses with a go-kart. But you just kind of learn at an early age you have to be versatile. Are they tight, are they loose? Yeah, but they drive different and there's a different feel. And so my career, I was never scared to try to drive something different. And everybody was like, oh, he'll never be successful. And that kind of was the driving force of their going, wow, you know, they would be diehard fans of a certain form of motorsports. And they're like, well, he's not going to be successful here. Well, that just made me work harder and figure it out. But I think when it came to driving the drag car, I think all these years of trying to drive different race cars and figuring it out helps. I mean, that helps shorten the learning curve. Then I've got my wife, Leah, who's a great drag racer herself, been drag racing for over 25 years. Matt Hagen, a four-time world champion that drives for us with the funny car. I had two great teachers. So it was like having the Cliff Notes version.
Right.
You know, when it comes to going through the learning curve and you know, made the learning aspect of it a lot easier.
It's one thing to even just say that barrier of entry to be able to participate at those high levels. Racing isn't easy to get to even participate in, not only to get there to succeed, to win championships. It's super unprecedented. And you got to think, just like you said, the team that you have around you, the way that you're dialed in, the way that you approach things, and even the success you've had so far, is that a championship, if you put your mind to it and you stick with it, is not far away. It's definitely attainable. Very last thing. So WGN Radio, this station was the first station to ever broadcast the Indy 500. I host the live pre-race show right from the Speedway, and we do a ton with it. And one of the legendary things, another for Tony Stewart, is that when the double, like this is this unattainable thing, not only from a Ironman duration kind of physical thing, but to get involved with it. And people who are able to do the double, even just to do it, to participate in some little piece. You're the only guy that's ever actually done it, finished the races, really had a chance to win both of them. I mean, a little bit about that. And then your good friend, you know, Kyle Larson, who's another guy that has transitional talent. You know, he's an incredible dirt car. You know, he's a kind of guy that can at least approach these things conversationally. Just your thought on the double.
I'm excited for him this year. I was excited to do it the 2 years I had the opportunity in 99 and 2001 to do it. I'm excited for Kyle to be able to do it back to back and do it with the same team. That's something I didn't do. I mean, when I ran in 99, we had started our own team after driving for John Menard. And so we're running our own car and a whole different tire package. And that was a disaster, but still finished ninth at the 500 and ran fourth at the Coke 600. 2 years later, I go drive for Chip Ganassi. We literally had a shot. We were leading the race when the rain came, and we had an option to either come in when they opened the pits, do a full service and then do a splash of fuel and finish the race, or maintain the track position, know that we were going to have to do a full stop if we didn't do it that way. And we took the shorter stop. So we came in, lost all of our track position. And if it would have went green, we were in a great position. Ourselves and Michael Andretti were the only ones that took that option. And then a caution came out in the middle of that cycle. And we got back up to sixth and then went down to Charlotte. And I finished third, but completed all 1,100 miles that year. And there's a lot of drivers. There's been John Andretti. There's been Robbie Gordon, Kurt Busch, myself. Now you got Kyle Larson that's done it. It's not that hard to do it now physically. The cars are a lot easier to drive, but the competition's tougher on both sides. So, I mean, to do what Kyle has the opportunity to do, Kyle could easily break what I did. I mean, he's not going to go further than 1,100 miles, But, well, and he could if it was a green, white checkered, I guess. But
technically.
But finish wise, I mean, does he have a shot to run in the top five at the Indy 500? Yeah, if he does the right things and doesn't have any mistakes. I mean, the only thing that cost him last year of having a really good result was he had a pit road speeding penalty. And that's just until you get into the race and run an Indy 500, you can practice all you want. You can practice coming in the pits. Until you get in race day and get in race conditions, it's just a different animal at the 500. But he could finish in the top five, and he could run better than third at the Coke 600 later in the day. So he absolutely could outdo what I did back in 2001.
Well, you have to have the right people around you with Hendrick. Obviously, he does have that support system around him that is necessary. And you think about it, that you were a, you know, IndyCar Series champion at the time when you had done that and achieved that. And this was like his first time in those cars. So it is pretty impressive, as easy as you say they are to run. Well, you're going to see all the stars of NHRA at Route 66, the 25th. Tony Stewart has raced in all the biggest races in all the biggest series. And this is the biggest one for, we say, because it's our home thing. And of course, the Coliseum of Speed there down in Joliet. For tickets, it's NHRA.com. We'll have links up at WGNRadio.com for all that. But Tony, thanks so much for coming to Chicago. Obviously, you got a chance to do that. Where are you going for lunch? You know, these are the things. We take our food seriously here.
Yeah, absolutely. Last year, I went to a really cool hot, and I can't remember the name, but I went to a really cool hot dog place where they cussed at me and everything else, which is
Wiener Circle.
Yeah, I loved it. That is absolutely a must do for me when I come back in town. But yeah, I mean, to come to Joliet in the middle of May before we run the Indy 500, I think it's two weekends for us that I look forward to, because it kind of really, for me, gets the Midwest deal kind of kicked off again. So racing at Route 66 and you know, that's the 16th through the 18th of May, and then a couple weeks later getting to be there. And I'm actually going to be a part of the broadcast for the Indy 500 this year.
Oh, so, are you serious?
That's the first time that I've had that opportunity with Fox to do that. So I'm excited about that. I'm not going to be in the booth, but and I'm not exactly sure 100% what capacity. They got so many celebrities and stars that are going to be a part of the pre-race that it's going to be a lot of fun. But looking forward to working with Fox again and being there to watch Kyle do his deal.
A lot of stars in racing, none bigger than Tony Stewart. You'll see him the 16th through the 18th Route 66 Raceway in Joliet. Again, we'll have links up. Tony, thanks so much for coming into the show. Thanks for everything you're doing for racing. Thanks for being on the program today.
No, I appreciate it. We enjoy it.